Blog I believe. Radio.
Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course.
But,
that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We've got an mob of optimism, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest stories, more so than any other, and our mountain wealth matters. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes the matches and kids can spin the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashley, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
Oh, I hope everybody loves this podcast because me and Matt want to throw some bricks. Are you there, Matt? Do you hear me?
Yeah, I do hear you.
Awesome. It's working.
It's working. For those of you who may not know, we spent probably as much time figuring out how to record tonight as we will actually spend talking. So that is our dedication to the craft, such as the degree of length that we go to for you, our listeners.
And hopefully it sounds okay. We're going, I'm going to put a link out now because this is actually a live show. And you think that's weird. Why would a live show be more difficult than a regular recorded show? Well, you can blame Jeremy here by myself because, let's see, my Chromebook crapped out on me. I can't turn it on. My other MacBook, which I used to use, won't connect to the internet. And then I have a third MacBook years old that has a split in half. Haven't used it in a year. Apparently every website, ESPN, Yahoo, Gmail, any basic website, CNN, wants me to approve the certificate. Like it thinks I'm going to a weird website, which I'm not. So I'm like, one last try. Let's try the Blog Talk Radio Live feature. And it's working. And
knock on wood. I'm knocking on wood right now.
I mean, hopefully it sounds well, because Matt, you sound a little odd to me, but that's okay. Do I sound okay?
You do sound okay.
Did you make sure to select the snowball microphone option?
I thought I did.
Who cares? We're going with it.
Let's
right?
go for it. Let's not waste any more time.
Yeah, exactly. So week 12 is here. We'll get right into it. Week 12 is here. Starts Friday night with Boise State playing the UNLV, who apparently, well, they've ran out of wide receivers.
Apparently, right? They are kind of like an old Civil War division writing letters to home from the front.
Yes, and you see Devontae Boyd struggling, walking to the sideline or walking to his position, that left arm just hanging ever so lightly, not touching it, catches a pass next play. That left arm, it's broken, folks. He's out for the year. And former QB hero Dalton Sneed moving to wide receiver.
Yeah, you know, I went and I looked at what UNLV's depth chart looks like now that they're without Devontae Boyd.
Uh-oh.
And they have one guy, Christian Clapp. They have him listed at two different receiver positions. The three guys that are listed as starters are all freshmen now. Elijah Trostclair, Jericho Flowers, Mekhi Stevenson. Between those three guys, you're talking about 30, 45, roughly 50 targets between them this year. They're going to miss Devontae Boyd.
Yeah. Also, in their game last week, weren't they missing Lexington Thomas as well?
They were.
In that massive Wyoming victory they had in triple overtime?
That was actually a little bit less of an issue than you might have expected, because not only did Charles Williams really step up, you know, Palandek, you know, not only had his best game as a passer, but he's been known to be a pretty good runner, and he answered the bell.
So what are they going to do then? What do you think is going to happen? Because they're a 28-point underdog to Boise.
I mean, wouldn't the game plan almost have to be exactly what they tried to do last week?
Yeah, what's one other receiver going out, right?
Yeah, one more at this point, you know. But, I mean, at the same time, it's not the worst idea in the world, because if you – like, we know that Boise rushing defense, their front seven, is like a defying strength. But, you know, we talk at length about Donnell Pumphrey, and, of course, we talk at length about New Mexico's run defense. We've been doing that pretty much every single week. But, you know, in conference action, it's UNLV that's actually number three as a team in rushing offense. You know, they're averaging right around 5.5 yards per carry in the six games that they played. And I'm trying to look up exactly how many carries they had last week in the win against Wyoming. And they had 64 carries.
Whew.
And they had, you know, they had 40 in the loss against San Jose State the week before that. So, you know, obviously you have to count a little bit for all of the overtime periods that they had to go into. But I think, you know, if you are trying to pull an upset of this kind of magnitude, you know, even though it's really kind of strength on strength, I think you kind of have to roll with it, don't you?
You do, but here's the thing. Kurt Palandek was the leading rusher, the quarterback for UNLV, at 158 yards last week. So
yeah,
that,
I mean, I don't think he's going to match that this time.
No, I'm just, my point is that it wasn't running backs getting the bulk of those carries. Well, yeah, Campbell did okay. Green did all right. The other guys did okay, like Charles Williams, but you're going to need one of those backs to maybe Palandek gets 70 yards. David Green gets like 100+.
As a team, they had 400 yards last week.
They did.
So I guess my question, I'm trying to look back at what they did on the ground last year against Boise State. And, you know, if you'll recall, they kind of hung tough for a little while before fading a little bit late. And they only had 100 yards on the ground last year. They averaged, you know, 4 yards a carry, which is a little bit below their season average. And they've been playing a lot better, like in the last month. You know, they're averaging well over 5 yards carry. So my question is, you know, even without Lex, you know, if Lexington Thomas's status is up in the air, you know, with Palandek, who we know is a pretty qualified running quarterback, with Sneed maybe running a fly sweep every now and again, with Charles Williams, David Green is a short yardage back. Are they going to be able to average 5 yards a carry again? Well, I mean, what do you think?
No. Short answer is no, because here's Boise's D-line. If they could somehow – I shouldn't dismiss it right away, but Boise's D-line, their starters are good. Their backups have some issues because the depth isn't as great. So if they can maybe – I guess they may not average that amount, but let's just say they run a lot and they're successful enough. Say they're 4 yards a carry, just enough to keep some confidence where they're not going to need to throw the ball all the time. So maybe they could run just enough where maybe they could tire out Boise State's line, because if they could run three guys plus Palandek at times and they're doing 4 yards a carry, 4.5 a little bit, I don't know if they get to 5, but if they can move them just enough, that might Boise might have to rotate a bit more if they have these long sustained drives. Then maybe they can break something open, but those are a lot of ifs to happen for guys who – because I know Wyoming's defense has improved, but – I still would say Boise's is higher than that, but I think that's the only way. Just rotating fresh body after fresh body and then making Boise have to go to their backups at some point and then have a big play at that time.
Yeah, I mean, what's really interesting in these two teams, and I think that I may have mentioned this before with regards to Boise, you know, if you go to Football Study Hall, they still have, on average, the worst starting field position in college football. Like, they're basically – If you started with a touchback every time, that's basically what their field position has been on average. What was really interesting to me is that UNLV's field position isn't that much better. Like, they're only ranked about 109th on the season. So while UNLV is probably going to have to be a little more methodical, I don't think they're going to find quite as many explosive plays as Boise might. And, you know, I talked in the recap show that they definitely found those big plays against Hawaii. But
that's why.
this is what sticks out to me, and this is what I think will possibly make or break game. You know, UNLV right now in points per trip inside the opponent's 40-yard line, sixth in the country. Did you realize that?
No, that's pretty good. They get inside the 40, they score points.
And one of the five teams ahead of them is Boise State.
Ooh. Does it say how many points per trip or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, the difference is like 0.04 of a point. Like, UNLV,
I mean, like,
five,
what's
points, the... like 5.45 points per trip, and Boise is at 5.49. So they're basically about as efficient on offense once they get inside the 40-yard line. So
do you know, does that include extra points? Any idea?
You know what? I'm not totally sure.
Because that's basically a touchdown every time they're inside the 40.
It kind of, I mean, yeah, more or less. So I think that if, you know, UNLV is going to have a harder time, I think, gaining that kind of field position or, you know, maximizing the field position that they're probably going to end up with, just because I don't think they're going to be quite as explosive. But, you know, if they do put together like 10-yard or 10-play drives, 12-play drives, and they're able to get inside the 40, I wonder whether that running attack will be able to make a difference and get them into the end zone, because obviously in a matchup like this, you're not going to be able to settle for field goals and really get away with it for too long. You there?
No, let's do it really quick. We're spending a lot of time on this one game here. Do you think the UNLV defense can do anything against this Boise team?
I think it's going to depend on whether they can generate turnovers, and I think that's going to come down a lot to whether the secondary can force Brett Rippon into mistakes. It's really hard to say, because like I still like the secondary, I think, more than most, but I mean, Boise's receivers are the best in the conference, probably. And so, to me, I think they're probably going to end up having a long afternoon or a long evening, all things considered.
I'll say this. If UNLV hangs in the game, it is because Brian Harsin wants to force Brett Rippon to throw the ball more often than he should, like against Oregon State or all these games where they're trying to put the throat down, put the heel to the throat, or whatever you want to call it, basically kill the opponent. That's how they may stay in it, because if they keep going three and out, he's bound to make a mistake, and we've seen it. Not many, but it's a snowball effect, essentially. If you go three and out so many times on drives like 1 or 2 minutes long, put your defense back out there. If UNLV has some success, long drives, Boise State has a quick three and out by passing on every down. Same thing again. Defense is tired. They were on the field for, say, 6 to 8 minutes, 14 plays. UNLV does that again. That's the reason where Boise tries to outsmart themselves. If you're winning, just run the ball and throw it when you need to throw it. You don't need to throw it on first, second, and third down. That's where they come in to try it out, outthink themselves. I think that's where UNLV secondary can maybe make some plays and get those turnovers, because throwing the ball, it's much more unsafe than running the ball. More things can happen poorly by throwing the ball than handing it off.
Yeah, I think they're probably looking pretty closely at the Wyoming game plan, because if you go back and look at, you know, their runs versus passes, you know, Josh Allen in that game when they won only threw 31 passes and they ran the ball 49 times. So I wouldn't be surprised if UNLV had a similar kind of split. I don't think they want to put the game in Palantech's hands unless they absolutely have to.
All right. Well, one counter to that, Wyoming has this guy named Brian Hill. UNLV does not have Brian Hill.
No, but they've got, like, you know, a committee approach that has worked for them. Like, you know, David Green is kind of the guy who's, you know, you get him to the 1 or 2 yard line and he can punch it in. And, you know, even without Lexington Thomas, Charles Williams, is he the freshman of the year in the conference?
I don't know. We'll have to look and see down the road. I'm not sure off the top of my head. He's pretty good.
At the very least, he's in the conversation, I think.
Oh, of course. Right now, the only other guy I can think of, like Rayshon Lewis, Utah State's pretty good. Look at some defenders. Cedric Wilson's a newcomer, not a freshman, right?
I believe he's a sophomore. Or he's a junior.
I think he's a new, like a JUCO guy, I think. Yep. Okay. Because somebody pointed that out in our midseason thing about newcomer. We didn't mention him, so we apologize. Again.
Now watch Dalton Sneed catches like a 75-yard touchdown pass or something like that.
No kidding. Or, hey, if he's back in there, dude, look for some flea flickers maybe or some jet sweep throws down the field opposite side. Sneed the Paladek touchdown off the end around. Why not? So it's 28.5 points, and people accuse me of always saying that the spread's too high for Boise State. I'll say it again. It's always too high. If it's over 24 points, I'm going to say the spread's too high, unless you're playing UMass or some terrible team like that. Or Hawaii, I guess. But 28.5 points, I think UNLV will hang around, but I still think Boise will win like 50-30 or something. Similar to the Hawaii game almost where – 3 touchdowns. I can't. It's hard to predict a team would win by 5 touchdowns. You know what I mean?
I think I would probably take. I would probably lay the points and take Boise to cover.
Oh, you would.
Ooh. I mean, as much as I like UNLV's running game, I don't know how they're going to overcome losing a guy like Boyd. I think that makes them a little too one dimensional for my liking.
So for me to say it's not going to cover, I think they'll win by 28 points. It's actually 28.5. So it could be 42-14. They'll still be on the right side, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, it's asking a lot, but I would lay the points.
I know so much. We'll see. We'll see who's right or wrong. We'll keep an eye on this game for when we recap. But all right, let's go to Saturday. A rare afternoon game for San Diego State. It's they're playing at Wyoming. And this is, I think this is the most important game of the weekend by far. Not even close.
Absolutely.
Because San Diego State, they've already clinched the division. The playoff rankings have came out. San Diego State not in there. We should have mentioned this before, but Boise jumped Western Michigan, which I think is quite surprising, despite Western Michigan having a poor, like, what are they, below Boise in pretty much every advanced stats, right?
Boise State should be sending Mike Leach like edible arrangements or something like that.
Yeah, because they like those top 25 wins. And where's Wazoo at? I didn't happen to see. Are they like right behind Boise State? They're in between. See Wazoo and thanks for our fans if they happen to make it. We'll see how that. I'll probably get blocked, or some police will call me or something for harassing him. But the big game here, San Diego State on the road at Wyoming. Here's why it's important. Yes, I know I'm cutting out Matt. You are too, so they'll have to deal with it this week, okay?
Yeah, sorry about that, folks.
Yeah, it's a Blog Talk Radio live feature. Not as reliable as we'd like. Okay, but as I was saying, so maybe nobody heard my Mike Leach little joke where nobody laughed, but let's move on. This game's important because Wyoming still is in control of the division. Yeah, this game, Aztecs are a 9.5-point road favorite. It's on CBS Sports Network, 1:30 local time. That's Mountain Time, 12:30 West Coast time, Pacific time. Aztecs win, Boise's in the driver's seat to go to the Cotton Bowl.
Think so?
They're already ahead of Western Michigan now. What's going to stop them?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said San Diego State.
No. I said if San Diego State. Oh, I see you. Sorry. I see what you mean. Sorry. If San Diego State wins, it's probably the time we broke up. Boise State is in the running because now they can get to the division title game or the conference title game.
That makes more sense.
We're sorry, folks. If you don't hear us very well, it's for free. Suck it. I don't know what to tell you. But this game is. This is the two best running backs in the conference. Sorry, Jeremy McNichols, you're right next to it, but you're number 3. Donald Pumphrey, And Rashard Penny, would he be a top five back essentially? Do you think? After
that's
the next good, he's going to get 1,000 yards this year.
There are a lot of very good running backs in this conference.
Would you put him above James Butler of Nevada?
You know, Nevada's year is not James Butler's fault, so no.
I know it's not, but he's a good running back.
I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying it's all kind of relative.
Okay, well, we'll get off of that because we want to hurry this along. Let's get to the game here. So, great running backs, Pumphrey versus Brian Hill. Wyoming, here's why I think Wyoming, I'm gonna say it now, I think Aztecs are going to win, but I also thought Boise beat Wyoming as well. These are both at home for the Cowboys. If we point back to that South Alabama game again, just because it's where we've seen not just a loss, so we're not just harping on the loss, but how it happened. This is probably is this the best quarterback they faced all year, Josh Allen, perhaps?
Maybe.
Because non-conference, I guess Davis Webb, obviously, but then
yeah, I mean,
Josh
Davis
Allen,
Webb,
maybe.
With the air raid, they pushed them. I mean, you forget they only won that game by 5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they needed the Devonta Casey pick.
Yeah. So that defense got pushed more than it had just about all season long. But I think as far as conference plays goes, you're probably right. Allen is pretty much it, at least until a potential conference championship matchup.
Yeah. Well, Nick Stevens the week after, but. Whatever. So I'm actually thinking this could be the best offense they face maybe since Cal as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, the two things in particular that I would watch out for is going into the Boise matchup, we both wondered whether Brian Hill was finally going to be able to answer the bell against the Broncos because they had shut him down in 2014 and 2015, but then he came out and had by far his best game against Boise State in his career. You know, he had, you know, almost 150 yards, well over 5 yards of carry.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back, and I think if you look at his 2015 performance against San Diego State, they got blown out in that game. It was 38-3. And he only had 72 yards on 20 carries, which is well below what we were accustomed to him to seeing from him. So I think that the same question applies here. You know, if Wyoming's going to hold serve at home, they're going to need him to have another big game because he's been a little more consistent this year. Like he's got 4 straight 100-yard games that he's working off of. And, you know, even aside from the absurd numbers that he put up against Nevada, like he's still averaging over 5 yards carry. And, you know, even if he doesn't crack 100 yards, like even if Josh Allen ends up scrambling for like something like 50, 60 yards on his own.
Possible.
I think the number to watch out for is whether or not Brian Hill can keep up that 5 yards per play average.
So do you think he can?
I mean, I think he can. I think we had the same question about Boise State, and you know, Boise State's run defense is just as good as or maybe a step below San Diego State's. But I would definitely argue that, yeah, it's well within the realm of possibility.
See, here's the thing about San Diego State. They are just crushing everybody the past month. Like, because they had the close game versus UNLV, close game versus Fresno, and then they whip Hawaii. They whip everybody the past month. They've been playing Utah State. They're just crushing everybody, but this is also the best, toughest opponent they've had in a while too.
That's also true. Yeah, I think, you know, and that kind of leads to my other point too. Is in a sense, I wonder who Tanner Gentry is going to get matched up with the most, because he's by far their biggest playmaker. He's their biggest playmaker on the outside. And I don't know that they necessarily want him matched up one-on-one with Devonta Casey all afternoon. You know, and without Derek Babiish in the starting lineup anymore, you know, last week they started a redshirt freshman, Ron Smith, at the other cornerback spot. And at least for one game, it worked out pretty well. He had an interception. But to me, you know, are they going to you know, try to exploit that matchup. Like, how much are they going to pick on Smith and stay away from Casey? And if they try to do that, do they try and do it with Gentry, or do they try and, you know, test him with Jake Mulhart, who's a little more of a possession type guy? You know, I'd be curious. I'm interested to see how they attack that particular matchup and whether or not the Aztecs decide to give him any help over the top with the guys behind Smith, like the other Smith in that Aztec secondary, Malik Smith or Parker Baldwin out of the Aztec spot. You know, are they going to give him help and let KZ handle the other side of the field himself? I don't know, but I'm interested to see what that looks like.
The overall, the Wyoming's receiving. I know you had Gentry. You look at the Gentry, 18 yards per reception. Hollister, 17. Did you know as a team, they're averaging 15 yards per catch?
I did not know that, but that does not surprise me.
It did a little bit to me. I thought it'd be maybe about 10 to 12, which means there's got to be somebody over the top at all times because they like to go deep, which we already knew that. Not surprised, but like they have seven guys averaging over 10 yards per catch. Actually, eight guys. Yeah, two have only one catch each, but still, they're getting every reception well over a first down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not going to get tested because UNLV also tried to give, you know, their corners help over the top, and Gentry beat them a couple times for big plays as well. Obviously, that's kind of apples to oranges. You know, UNLV's defense is solid. Their secondary is solid, but this secondary is elite.
Even with missing players who are suspended?
Even without that. Like, if you are looking at their havoc rate, they're still number one in the country among defensive backs.
So if we go to San Diego State, then I think this is where the mismatch is more. Because stop Pumphrey? Because that's what everybody's going to focus on. Is if Pumphrey goes wild, they're going to win, I think, easily. Wyoming, here's the thing about Wyoming. They score defensive touchdowns. They have a very good secondary in their own, like Andrew Wingard's back there. Even linebacker Logan Wilson, freshman, can get another guy to put in there for freshman of the year, can make some big plays. If they can force, here's how Wyoming's going to win. They need to force Christian Chapman to beat them in the air, and I don't think he can. But that's a lot to ask for. That's the thing, that's a lot to ask to do.
Yeah, I mean, the one team that was able to really slow down the San Diego running game was the one team that beat them this year, South Alabama. They're the only team that held them under 4 yards a carry. And that is asking a lot for any team, any defense to do. I think what I would be looking for is, you know, are they going to be able to hold them to maybe 4.5 yards a carry? Because it's almost like, you know, Donald Pumphrey's going to get his one way or another. Mm-hmm. What makes this team dangerous is not necessarily that it's just him. It's, you know, Rashad Penny, of course, is going to get, you know, maybe 10, 12 touches. And even Juwan Washington has been getting into the mix lately. And those guys, when they come in late to, you know, kind of put the game away, that's when San Diego State's been able to really pour it on. So, you know, it's really up to the Wyoming defense to more or less hang on. And, you know, you're never going to stop Donnell Pumphrey. You can really only hope to contain him. And if you could do that, I think the more critical role, like I said, is to try and figure out how to stop Penny and then Washington, because you know that those guys are going to see some reps as well.
True. Here's a couple numbers I want to throw at you real quick.
Okay.
So they played Air Force,
mm-hmm.
held them to 3.82 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
They played Nebraska, 3.21 yards per carry, which is a yard and a half under their average.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Boise State was 5.89. Then last week, UNLV was the anomaly, 6.27. Even Utah State, who has a terrible rushing attack, they had 3 rushing touchdowns and 4.6 yards per carry against Wyoming.
Pretty good.
It's not for Utah State. I don't think that's pretty good, but to allow them that many. But they've shown to be good. That's my point. Mm-hmm. Boise has good running games. They exploded. The best comparison is the Boise game with McNichols. Like, even Nevada, they held them to 4.1, which is okay. And they're at 4.4 for a year, so it could be done, but I don't – even Pumphrey to McNichols, Pumphrey's is way up here up top compared to McNichols. He's like four ladder rungs below Pumphrey.
I mean, I think they're a little closer to one another than you do, but I'm trying to figure out a counter argument, and I just – I don't know if I can do it because I'm trying to look at what the Aztecs have done on their in their past defense. And, you know, the games which were close, I'm looking at yards per attempt in particular. Cal averaged, you know, 7.3 yards per attempt. And, you know, maybe the, you know, the two teams that actually managed to score more than 10 points in conference were Utah State and Nevada. So even though those were both blowouts, they both managed, you know, 7 and 7.5 yards per attempt themselves. The outlier, of course, again, is the South Alabama matchup where they allowed 11.5.
Yeah.
And that kind of comes back down to, you know, is Josh Allen going to be game enough to, you know, find those big plays and, more importantly, take care of the ball? Because I think both things are equally possible. Like, I think that, like I said, Gentry can find big plays, but this secondary has been more opportunistic than any other secondary in the conference. And, you know, depending on which team catches those particular breaks is going to have a huge influence on this game.
Very true. And here's one difference I just thought of now compared to, like, Davis Webb. Josh Allen's more mobile than Webb.
Yeah.
We've seen what he can do. And so can that secondary, as good as they are, if a play's extended from 4 seconds to 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds, Josh Allen reversing field, trying to not be tackled or head ripped off by Calvin Munson, can the Aztecs secondary keep with that if that happens more often than not? And then you could have broken plays, easy scores because somebody's wide open, because these guys know what happens, because it happens quite a bit, whether it's moving the pocket or just look at the home opener versus NIU. He goes back across the field twice, finds somebody open. And that it may be one play or one deep score of that kind of a broken play happens, but that could be the difference in this game. And I know it's dumb, but turnovers are going to be a big deal, and San Diego State does a good job holding on to the ball, I believe. Am I correct on that? I think
Yeah.
So I didn't want to speak out of turn and be people yell at me, but Wyoming has at least, I want to say, 4 defensive touchdowns, I think, 5 maybe, quite a few. If they can tip off, pick off Chris Chapman one time from, or maybe force a fumble from somebody, get a scoop and score. They've shown to do this. They had 2 versus Eastern Michigan. They've had a couple others, and that's a way where they, when they get turnovers, they look to score. If that's another way where it's making us seem like making people think like, oh, Wyoming's this underdog team. They're not, but to beat San Diego State, you're not just going to beat them traditionally scoring off the right way. The reason South Alabama beat them, part of the reason, or at least a blowout, 2 miscues for touchdowns, 2 turnovers for TDs. The bad snap that went into the end zone, kicker should have kicked it out, but the guy dove on it, got it. A fumble late in the game that was like a 40 or so yard touchdown return. Those are the type of plays you need to beat San Diego State. And Wyoming has shown they can have those plays on defense.
And one last thing that I want to bring to everybody's attention before we presumably make picks.
Sure.
I'll refer everybody once again to Football Study Hall, but Bill C's got his power success rate statistics, which, just as a refresher, it's the number of successful runs on 3rd or 4th down, 2 or 2 yards or less to go, where you either get a 1st down or a touchdown. On defense, San Diego State is 56th in the country in that regard. And on offense, Wyoming is 51st. So whoever wins those short yardage situations, whether it's, you know, maybe it's 3rd and 2 and Allen decides to drop back to pass. And then, like you said, maybe he tries to scramble or something like that. But, you know, whichever team I think can win those really critical battles that might only come up once or twice throughout the course of the game, that's another thing that I think will have an outsized influence on who wins the game.
All right, let me ask you a dumb question that I've heard some people talk about. I fully promise that you should shut me down and say no, that's stupid. So, San Diego State's playing Wyoming. Aztecs already have the West Division in hand. If Wyoming wins out, they're in the title game, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If New Mexico wins out, they're in the title game, correct?
Only if Boise loses.
Crap. Okay, never mind. Well, let me repeat the question then. Sorry. Let's stick with Wyoming since we're playing here. I'm assuming, who do you think San Diego State would rather play in a title game, Wyoming or Boise State?
They'd rather play the team that'll help get them to the big money bowl, and that team is Boise State.
Then you prove my point correctly, because I've heard some people say maybe this was talked about a few years ago with Jim Moore and UCLA about throwing the game to play a certain opponent in the Pac-12 title game.
Nobody's going to do that.
I'm just saying, no, I'm not saying that, but I've heard, I want to put it out there. That's why I want you to be the voice of reason, say this is a stupid idea you're telling me here. Aztecs let Wyoming win so that they may play Wyoming or New Mexico in the title game instead of Boise. But yet the loss knocks them out of any New Year's Six bowl game.
Yeah.
So say it. That's stupid, right?
That is stupid, yes.
Okay, I want somebody else besides me saying that, because I've heard that enough to want to have somebody else tell me I'm correct and not crazy for thinking that's a dumb possibility.
Come on, y'all. Let's do better than that.
Win your games, Aztecs. Come on. All right, moving on. Utah State at Nevada.
And wait. Did you make a pick?
Oh, no, I did not. Oh, we might need to make picks. I got to go. I have to go San Diego State. But to cover that 9.5, not a chance. This will come down to, this will be like the Boise State game. I think maybe a few more points than that. But I think it'll be where San Diego State wins, because Pumphrey just kind of beat them to death. But Wyoming and Josh Allen will do their best to keep and hang around in the passing game.
I kind of like Wyoming in this game.
Ooh, this is worthy of the stupid upset pick, if you like to take
it. Is it, though?
They're a home dog by 9.5 points.
If one division winner beats another division, or a division leader beats another division leader, that's a stupid upset?
Well, it's 9.5 points. That's a good amount.
I like them to win out, right?
Okay. There you go. Matt Kennerly believes in the Cowboys. I do not.
I think it'll be close. But I think that, you know, Wyoming's strengths, if everything breaks their way, are strengths that really take advantage of the really minute weaknesses that San Diego State has.
I agree. Are you referring to the passing game of San Diego State? That's we don't know how great it or bad it is?
No, I'm referring to Wyoming's big playability. I think a lot of it is Tanner Gentry, but I think he's kind of up to the task.
Gotcha. I was referring to, I just said it. Aztecs passing game. It's like we said early in the offseason, if it was very good, they'd be far and away the best team. They're still pretty good, but they're not quite that. But it's going to be a great game. Do not miss it. All right, I got San Diego State winning by about a touchdown. You have Wyoming winning by whatever. Next game. Whew. Also, Wyoming fans, they're going to show up because they showed up for Boise State. So they'll be there in drones for this game to another sellout at War Memorial Stadium. And also, since it's an afternoon game, nice weather, 40 degrees. So that'd be fun if there's snow or something, man. But because, you know, climate change is crap. All right, Utah State at Nevada. Utah State's not going bowling because they're now 3-7. Some people want Matt Wells to be fired. Are you one of those people?
I think I may have mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again, that if I were a Utah State fan, I would be patient.
My thoughts. Well, at least remember the Brent. Just let me tell you this, Utah State fan. Go Wikipedia Brent Guy, Utah State head coach, and get back to me.
Just,
or basically pre Gary Anderson, right? Pre Gary Anderson.
No. You know what the move is. The move is, as soon as this game is over, find an illegal stream of the Fresno State game later that afternoon and just watch that. That's the move.
Okay.
Grateful for where you are.
Exactly. All right. So they're at Nevada. Both teams are not bowl eligible. So playing for Pride? Sure. I guess if we get to five, there might be a chance. I don't know how smart Nevada and Utah State is in APR, but some teams made it last year. But this makes no sense to me. Do you know the line on this game?
Okay. If I had to guess, I'd probably say like Utah State -6.
Yes.
Wow, really? Okay.
I saw this and like, how are the Aggies a road favorite at one of the toughest places to play in the country?
Because Nevada's awful.
Worse than Utah State?
Oh, yeah.
I can't go there. I don't. They're both awful. I
mean, I think what this matchup is, I think, is, you know, I don't want to beat up too much on Nevada's front seven.
It's bad.
If there's ever a time where they are going to like step up and slow down a running game, this is it.
Very true.
Because, you know, without Devontae Mays, like we've said it multiple times, like this running game is just kind of dead on arrival week after week. And, you know, Kent Myers, as good of a scrambler as he is, like he is still averaging over 7 yards per carry when he gets the chance. But he can't do it all himself. And like I said, you know, Nevada's shown some glimpses here and there. Like, you know, Malik Reed, let's not ignore him. At the defensive end position, he's having a pretty good year. Like he has 5 sacks, 9 tackles for loss, 3 forced fumbles. That's all well and good. But he's basically all they've got as far as guys making plays up front. So if I'm a Nevada fan, I'm looking for some of these other defensive linemen to step up and make a play every once in a while. You know, guys like, you know, Patrick Chuja or Jordan Silva, who's been getting a little more time in the last few weeks, Corey Rush, you know, all these young guys, these, I think, you know, Silva and Rush and Reed are all sophomores. So, you know, to some extent, they're still growing into this role. They're still growing into being a part of that rotation up front. But, I mean, this is not a good running game. So now is the time to step up and make plays.
That is a very good point where something might actually happen for them for that Nevada front. I haven't checked. I should check right now. But is Kent Myers going to be ready to go?
I have not looked. I assume it was.
We should do better than what we're doing here, but I blame our tech issues of not prepping enough before. We're wasting time. But for Utah State, like, stick with their offense. Maybe Rayshon Lewis will have a big game. Ronquavion Tarver could have a decent game, but I don't trust Utah State. I think Nevada should win and win big because James Butler is the best player on either side on either offense. He's the only player I would really trust to do anything. And that's why I think I'd have to go towards Nevada because, like I said, even with Devontae Mays, Utah State couldn't run the ball. Whoever they decided to trot out there, Tony Lindsay, they still have a Luan Hunt back there somehow stealing some carries, but they're just it has to be Butler, and that's the reason why I'm going to take Nevada to win. Tyler Stewart's pretty good; he could throw okay, but I don't think Utah State has enough offensively to take advantage of that defense.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not. I think one thing that's going to be something to watch is, you know, Ty Ganji, since he took over for Tyler Stewart.
Oh, I apologize. Oh, jeez. Scratch that from the record, what I just said, but go ahead with your thought. I kept saying Stewart for some reason.
Because so Ganji's been a little bit uneven in a lot of respects. Like, he's got a 6-6 touchdown to interception ratio. He's, you know, his yards per attempt is better than Stewart managed, and his completion percentage is a little lower than what Stewart managed. But the one big difference in what I think is probably the one thing this game will come down to is the fact that Ganji's sack rate right now is on dropbacks is only 1.6%. And Utah State's pass rush in conference play has just not been very good. You know, they only have 9 sacks in 7 games, which is just not going to get it done at all. So if I'm looking for the game to turn anywhere, it's on whether or not Utah State can get into the backfield and put a lot of pressure on Ganji. Because I think if they can, you know, I've been kind of the low guy on this passing game all year long. I'm still not a huge believer in Hassan Henderson like you are.
Hey, you know, I gave up on that. I preseason, yes. Once the season started, no.
Like, I think if you can zero in on Wyatt Demps,
mm-hmm.
and put pressure on Ganji, I think that's where he's more prone to make some mistakes, which I think plays right into Utah State's hands. So if that happens, and I think it will, that's why I'm leaning Utah State in this game.
Let me move one more reason why I agree with you on Utah State, even though I probably shouldn't. Myers will be fine. He was healthy last week. That's what I get for being extremely sick and not paying attention over the weekend. Stuff happens. And so I'll blame a few things on that. Not everything, but a few things. Damien Hobbs, leading rusher for Aggies. He played a lot of Wildcats. I'm wondering if they may – I don't think – maybe – he hasn't thrown the ball, I don't think, but maybe once or twice this year, not many times. None last week versus New Mexico. So maybe look for him to be in Wildcat and maybe actually throw the ball once or twice today on Saturday. That could be some spark, like Hobbs to Depths maybe, if they expect Hobbs to run and he does a little step forward, pull back to throw to the tight end. That could be something to look for, but that's about the only way they're going to get the running game going, but even with that, I got to go with Nevada, but that's just one little wrinkle where Utah State can make some noise in this game.
Well, you know, the refs can't act against the Aggies every week, can they?
You would think not, but New Mexico
like
game, Air Force game. So, all right, we disagree again. Hey, this is we're getting pretty good at this disagreeing thing.
All right,
let's move this. I need to go quickly. Hawaii at Fresno State.
Do we have to talk about this game?
sorry, something played in my headphones. Do you want to talk about Jeff Tedford getting hired today?
What?
It's more Jeff Tedford since he's official.
We'll if anybody wants to talk to me about Jeff Tedford, they can find me on Twitter and I will tell them exactly how I feel about it.
Let me say one thing. Over $3 million the next 2 years would be top 30 coaching salary. They're paying out.
All I'm saying is they better be right at this point.
Bartko, you're out of a job if this fails.
Yeah. I mean, to me, what this matchup comes down to is the fact that, you know, Hawaii's got a good running game, and that's the – I mean, Fresno State's had a lot of struggles, but rarely are the struggles more pronounced in the fact that the Bulldogs just can't stop the run at all. So, like I said, I think in talking about UNLV against Boise, like, I think this is the kind of situation where, you know, Paul Harris, if he's not getting 20 carries, and if Steven Lock is not getting like 10 to 12 carries, and if I don't know if St. Juice is going to play or not. I don't believe he saw any action last week. But if they're not running the football a lot more than they're throwing the football against this team, something's gone wrong. Because I think that's the way that you beat this team. And if they stick to that, they should win this one going away, I think.
So this game, I'm looking on ESPN. It's not showing up. I don't have College Press Box open. Is this a Time Warner game?
I believe so. Let me double check while you talk for a minute.
Okay. So, yeah, you're correct on the running game here, but here's one concern I have for Fresno State with Eric Keystone not being named the coach and who knows if he'll stick around. Has this team, I don't want to be a negative, but officially hit rock bottom just because coach is out, unless he's playing for coaching for another job, which you shouldn't give up, but that's going to be a tough thing to see in this game, but what I want to see from this team, because Hawaii has shown at times to, especially last week, let's just hope Hawaii keeps their benches this week. That's what I want to see. Don't lose your benches, Hawaii players. But I think this could be a game where maybe Chase and Virgil could do a little bit of something. Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, that depends on, I'm assuming he's going to be back to 100% because he did get banged up in the game against Colorado State a week and a half ago.
Or are they going to switch into Zach Klein again? Ugh.
I haven't heard anything official at this point. If you look at the depth chart, Chase and Virgil's still at the top. There's no or anything like that.
Is it a new depth chart or just one from week one or something?
No, I mean, they update it when there's injuries. You know,
okay.
DeRuiter and Matt Wells. He's not Matt Wells, basically. but, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, though, if they tried to go with the same kind of arrangement that they tried to do last week or against Colorado State before Virgil got hurt. Because the plan was to split carries, and then Virgil got hurt, and then for some reason they were running zone reads with Zach Klein. And that worked out.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
That worked out about as well as you might expect. But no, really, if you go back and find that game on the Mountain West Network on Campus Insiders, you will see Zach Klein running.
No. I don't recommend that one bit.
I recommend it for Utah State fans so they could be grateful for what they have.
Okay.
But
that's a good point as well.
I mean, my stance on the quarterback situation hasn't changed. I think that Virgil's a better option to just play out the string, get some reps. And if we know who the coach is, we are starting to get a sense of what they're looking for with assistants and stuff like that. You know, just let him play out the string. Like,
you make a good point. Because we know Tedford's not, he's the head coach now, but he's not coaching. I guarantee he's talking with Eric Keesal, just not interfering too much, but I guarantee one of the things he's saying, hey, as long as he's healthy, play Virgil. He's probably going to be our guy next year. Klein's gone. I want to see what we have with him in person. And so I guarantee there's those whispers going on about play Virgil instead, assuming he's obviously healthy. Give him the majority of the reps. If you play Klein, that's fine, but I want to see Virgil out there in live action when I'm on the sideline during a game.
Yeah,
I guarantee that's happening. And so that's why I think, assuming health, like I said, health being number one priority, Virgil will be the starter of 85% of the reps at a minimum.
I mean, if it were me, it would be 100%, but
I said minimum, but you never know.
I mean,
I agree with you, but I'm just kind of thinking from what they said before, because they said they didn't want to split. So that's the only reason I'm giving a little bit of leeway there to see a Klein get in a couple of reps for some reason.
Yeah, and I mean, on the flip side, like, if I'm Hawaii's linebackers, I'm probably licking my chops in this particular matchup because, you know, in the same way that Fresno State can't stop the run, this is still a team that literally just can't run the ball either. Although, I will point out, because I did mention it in the live tweeting against Colorado State, I'm interested in seeing just how much time they decide to give to Bryson Oglesby. Because he was a guy that caught my attention back in spring practice. He got hurt, and he didn't really see the field until last week. And his first carry was like 21 yards, something like that, and that was his first career carry. So I'm interested to see just how many touches they decide to give him, because, I mean, as much as I like Dontell James, like, he's running up against this offensive line that is probably – by a lot of numbers, quite literally the worst in the nation. And he's just not getting it done, but you saw flashes of playmaking ability from Oglesby despite that. So, well, I think that overall this is a favorable matchup for guys like Jelani Tavai and Malachi Mageo. You know, if they decide to mix it up and give more carries to the freshman, not only Oglesby, but maybe Justin Rice gets a few more carries than he did last week, I'm interested to see what that looks like and see if that makes any difference whatsoever for the running production. Because if it does,
go with it.
I think that ends up making the game a lot more interesting than it would be otherwise.
And for sure it could. So who are you taking in this game? Because Hawaii is second time this year, they're a road favorite.
I'm basically betting against Fresno until further notice. So I would lay the points and I would take Hawaii.
So would I. I like your point about playing the younger guys, because there's nothing to lose, really. You know what I mean? Keesal's out. Just don't embarrass yourself as a coach, but mix it up a little bit. Like, split the carries evenly if you're going to get these other guys in there. Like, see what he can do, and then pick the hot hand. Because, like you said, and we've seen all year, running game hasn't been overly spectacular. So start with one of the freshmen, start with the young guy, give not necessarily a series, but here's two carries at a time or something, and go from there. One quick thing on the coaching, really quick. Were you aware, do you know the name Jethro Franklin?
All I know is that, like Tedford, apparently he's another former Fresno State guy. I believe he's what, defensive line coach for the Oakland Raiders right now?
Correct, yeah. I just didn't know. I haven't heard that name, so I didn't know what you're, if you liked him better or not. Or he interviewed, apparently. So
I don't know anything about him, and I don't understand the fascination with him.
Okay. Just former Fresno guy, that's why, right?
The fascination with him is that he's a Fresno State guy, which I think I've made my stance on that very clear.
Next game, let's move on.
Let's move on.
New Mexico at Colorado State. This is probably the second most exciting game of the weekend, I would say. Would you agree?
There's a lot more at stake for both teams than you might suspect.
Correct. First off, this game kicks local time there in Fort Collins. 8-5.
What's going on?
We're done for the night, apparently.
Okay.
Computer went black. I thought it went to sleep because I hadn't touched it for a while. I hit the little trackpad, got some air, your computer decided to restart because of issues. So.
Yeah, do we want to finish it up on Thursday then?
Maybe we'll add to it. I'll see how it sounds. Sure, we can do something like that. Because the last game is, we can do those two games. I will, when I get a chance, see how it sounds or if I need to end it or something, and we could add more later, but we're done. This is ridiculous.
For anybody who happens to be listening to the live show, we truly apologize.
Oh, it's still going right now?
I think I'm still going. I have no idea what people can hear or not hear.
I will edit it if that's because I'll cut stuff out at the end and redo it.
Yeah, we will figure out the rest later.
Just close out of it. I'm sorry, man. But, we can do Thursday. Is that Thursday night?